The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. On this 12th day of October 2020. And what do I see? Oh, that's right. Today in the news, and they plastered it all over the place, it was the remembrance of the people, the 17 people that died on the USS Cole. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this and I'm going, what about the USS Liberty? More people died there. It was an attack on Israel, an American ship, and they knew it. But see, folks, in a world such as we have today, you know, they manufacture their own heroes. They actually called John McCain after that political ad ran. They actually called John McCain a hero. Let me remind you of who John McCain really was. And what you're going to hear is the clip that he made for the North Vietnamese, the communist, and it was broadcast. This was a true broadcast. It is real, folks. It went out over the airwaves. Hit it, Mike.
To the Vietnamese people and the government of the DRVN, from John Sidney McCain, 624787, Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy, born 29 August 1936, Panama, home state, Ryan. Shot down 26 October 1967, 8-4 aircraft. I, as a U.S. Airman, am guilty of crimes against the Vietnamese country and people. I have bombed their cities, towns, and villages and caused many injuries, even death, to the people of Vietnam. I was captured in the capital city of Hanoi while attacking it. After I was captured, I was taken to the hospital in Hanoi, where I received very good medical treatment. I was given an operation on my leg, which allowed me to walk again, and a cast on my right arm, which was badly broken in three places. The doctors were very good, and they knew a great deal about the practice of medicine. I remained in the hospital for some time and regained much of my health and strength. Since I arrived in the camp of detention, I have received humane and meaning treatment. I received discharge treatment and food, even though I came here as an aggressor, and the people who I injured have much difficulty in their living standards. I wish to express my deep gratitude for my kind treatment, and I will never forget this kindness extended to me.
Yeah, and we won't forget either, John. You know what I'd love to do? Go on The View with the... And it's true, you can put lipstick on a pig. I would love to go on there with Meghan McCain and play that on The View. And then watch her pretty little head just explode. I am so tired of people calling other people heroes when they're really the dregs of the planet. Seriously. By the way, there's a little bit more that I did not get around to on the issue of Mike Lee. Gosh. And this is how bad it is, folks. He's the only guy, and I've been waiting, and I've been waiting, and I've been waiting. I think Mike Lee might listen to this program. And I have been asked if anybody out there in Utah has gotten into Mr. Lee. I would like to bring him up specifically on this program to talk about the difference between a democracy and a republic. Because this is what we're being conditioned, again, to believe that we are a democracy. And don't you know, folks, that, you know, in a true democracy that's going to bring us liberty and, and all that stuff, prosperity and peace and, I'd love to get Senator Mike Lee on this program. There's only one other politician, and closer to statesman he was a politician. And that was the congressman that supposedly died on his tractor that used to sit in the well of Congress and give his one-minute speech and at the end of it say, "Beam me up, Scotty, there's no intelligent life down here." And that was Mr. James Traficant that absolutely nailed it on Israel, that nailed it on a lot of things. But, well, he's dead now. Hopefully the memory with these cretins, these people that should not be within shooting distance of a public office. So anyhow, many people responded on the Twitter reaction to Mike Lee declaring that this is a republic, a constitutionally limited republic, and not a democracy. He later explained on tweets Thursday in an interview with the Washington Examiner. He says, "I get why people use the term." He said about the term democracy, "I also understand why a lot of people would think of it as either a non-issue or not something to be concerned about." One senator. One. "But as I think about it, I think it is a big deal. Because in many ways, the whole idea of having a constitution itself, particularly a constitution that establishes a constitutional republic like ours, is materially different and distinct from a democracy." You think? Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to President Barack Obama, on Thursday morning, he tweeted out, "Majority rule is a huge problem for a party with an agenda opposed by a majority of Americans." Huh? What? You mean the nobodies that showed up out in Arizona for our illustrious 78-year-old, I don't know what the hell state I'm in, along with this woman that I don't even know how to describe? Or as Roger said, down in Florida, well, they had their own form of a drive-by. 30,000 people clogging up the roads everywhere in support of Trump. And then Uncle Joe can manage a 12 or a 13-car caravan. And there's probably nobody but the driver behind those tinted windows any damn way. This has all been an illusion that they put out there, like the illusion of the COVID-19, like the illusion of collusion. The Russian, Vladimir Putin was in on the takedown of Hillary Clinton. One enterprising individual was, "Okay, so what's the point of taking, what? This was all Hillary Clinton's game." Do you think Hillary Clinton right now, oh, damn it, I knew I wanted to ask Roger a question. Doggone it. Well, next time he's on. But, folks, this was Hillary Clinton's plan. I wanted to ask him about Barr. Because there's been criticism about Barr. Well, Barr didn't do this when he had that, or he didn't. Let me ask you a question. What do you think Bob Barr is going to do with the second reelection of Donald Trump? Do you think he's going to be as wishy-washy or not making public proclamations as really any Justice Department shouldn't until it's ready to jump? What do you think is going to happen? Now, I think we know Donald Trump well enough to know that if he doesn't get out of the Attorney General what must be done, Bob Barr would be replaced. But let's see what Bob Barr is made out of. And if it's possible that he's been holding back until his reelection. You know, the Democrats are going ape crap crazy because, well, Ninth Justice looks like it's going to be confirmed. And what the Democrats out there are really worried about is, you know, this Barrett woman, aside from her being Catholic, remember that was a complaint against JFK, and he's the last damn Democrat that I liked. And how many years ago was that? 60? 60 years ago? I don't know. Jerry in Chicago. How many people dead over the weekend, Jerry?
I think only 4 to 7.
4 to 7? And the rest of them must have died from COVID-19 then.
Well, I don't know how many were shot. I heard a blip on the news in the morning, and that was it. Hey, I just wanted to add something to John McCain. You might have covered it when I switched the call in. But he almost sunk the USS Forrestal being a hot dog.
Well, and a lot of people, how many people died on the USS Forrestal?
You know, that 40? Number escapes me right now.
Wait a minute. You're talking, what'd you say, Mike? 120, 140. He's looking it up right now. Go ahead, Jerry. What? 134 deaths and 161 injured. Jerry?
Okay. Well, I couldn't remember it, John.
I couldn't either. I couldn't either. I mean, we've been in the middle of battling, I have, for 30 years, and sometimes some of the facts have to be recalled.
Yeah. But, hey, that's all I wanted to mention, and you guys have a great show. And if you get a chance, listen to Clint Richardson on Deanna Spengola a week ago this past Saturday.
Okay. All right.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, bye-bye. Jerry. Appreciate your call. So, the majority rule is a huge problem. And this is what Dan Pfeiffer, the former senior advisor to President Barack Obama, on Thursday morning said. Majority rule is a huge problem for a party with an agenda opposed by the majority of Americans. Mark Hemingway, a senior writer at Real Clear Investigation, offered a nuanced view of Lee's tweet. How many people dunking on this tweet would put their First Amendment rights up for a vote? The idea direct democracy can be had without curbs shouldn't be terribly controversial. Carissa Byrne Hessick, University of North Carolina law professor, asked, has someone already pulled together what I am sure is a very long list of quotes by Senator Lee saying that unelected judges shouldn't be making various decisions? I love this one. Ibram X. Kendi, an author, professor, and director of the Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research. This is what he wrote on a tweet. Democracy is the objective. It is the only way to bring liberty, peace, and prosperity to all people. But some people are thwarting democracy, concerned only about securing liberty, peace, and prosperity for themselves. What? Remember me saying, folks, and this is a favorite of mine, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. So, let me put it to you. If the one doesn't have peace, liberty, prosperity, the right to contract when they want to, not forced into contract, gee, I'm a little bit taken aback. I'm a little bit aghast here. This is what we have known for a very long time. This is why Black Lives Matter were run by a couple of Marxist, dyed-in-the-wool communists. No joke. The Antifa people. Thank you, FBI, for that hastily put together piece of crap you're trying to run on people. You watch how fast the story dies because the truth has already surfaced about the supposed Antifa people that were going to kill the Michigan governor. The FBI, you're stupid. You're more than stupid. You're moronic. Because what was out there and was captured was the videos that these Antifa guys made with Antifa flags on the walls behind them. Oh, gee. Just like everything else, you and your arrogance can go to grass and eat hay. And by the way, don't give me this crap that there's still good people in the FBI and we've got to change the image and have people trust the FBI again. In a pig's eye. I want to see you people gone. I want to see the CIA. I want to honor JFK with spreading the CIA to the four winds. The people that gave us more death and destruction and set up more world chaos than folks you'd ever want to know about. I want to honor that last Democrat that I had a modicum of respect for, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I want to see you people gone. I want to see the Republic back in full force. I want to see honest money. I want to see all of this. And this is doable, folks. Are you starting to understand who this is really up to? You're not just the resistance out there. You're not just people that are able to store some ammunition and some food and take a few pot shots at marauders that want to steal your stuff. No, we were talking about a full-blown, turn-it-on-them political process. Folks, not doing politics for the sake of doing politics. No, taking the political steps necessary in this country to really secure our liberty, our peace, our prosperity. For not just me, but for Joe Blow from Kokomo, people that live down the street that I might have never even talked to, for everybody. What these people are selling you is a load of hudda, and they're all wrapping up in a bow and telling you that this is how we're going to achieve peace and prosperity. But I've got the asshats out there saying, well, you know, this form of government. You know, I know about K Street. I know about the lobbyists. This is what's got to be stopped. You heard Roger, term limits. Can't leave these scallywags in there because guess what? The only reason they're back is because they're doing for the bidding for the people that gave them all the campaign donations. So they get in office, take care of a little bit of biz, make sure that they're going to be elected again. They're going to have plenty of funds and the political game will be rigged again. I am not in opposition to a lot of the calls that I've heard come into this network, but you can't get past the stupid. You can't get past, oh, well, we got to tear this damn thing down and rebuild it. No. If I'm restoring a car, does that mean I have to remanufacture every part? Or can I recondition? Can I massage? Can I make it look as new? Work as well as new? Run as well as new? Yes, I can. That's called restoration. That's what that's called. And that's exactly what we have to do with this country. And guess what, folks? We're going to have a heyday here. Because you and I are what? We the people are the government. I don't know who the hell these communists are or where they came from. Or they're so damn weak-minded that they can't think for themselves. They become nothing but bumper sticker readers. They can only repeat what somebody else. And that's why with these idiots, every time that you drill down on them, well, I hate you. You're a racist. Huh? Why? Ye gads and little fishes. So, Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research made the statement that democracy is the objective. It is the only way to bring peace, liberty, and prosperity to all the people. But some people are thwarting democracy, concerned only about securing liberty, peace, and prosperity for themselves. Well, I'm sorry. I guess the needs of the many outweigh the needs of making the one person whole and then duplicating it so it works for everybody. You morons. God, I can't wait till after this election we can start seeing the treasonous sons of buggers in prison.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief.
By the way, the Examiner pointed out that Democrats and Republicans have called America, which is a republic, a democracy. And I give you Red Ronnie, that everybody refers to Red Ronnie as being one of the greatest conservative Republican presidents. Well, in California, he was known as being Red Ronnie. There's your hint. So what did he say? Commemorating on June 6th of 1984, the World War II D-Day invasion, honoring the 40th anniversary, he said this, and I've got the clip, but I don't want to go through 14 minutes to try to find it. I'll just excerpt the important part. One country is worth dying for, and democracy is worth dying for, because it's the most deeply honorable form of government ever devised by man. Thank you, Red Ronnie. Didn't even know what you were the president of, or you did, and you were just lying. Robert in Texas. Hello, Robert.
Hey, John, how's it going tonight?
Well, you tell me. How do you think the temperature of this program has been running? Tepid, cold, or red hot?
I know, I've heard you. I just wanted to do something real quick. I love what you guys were talking about with that Act of 1871. And I agree, they really screwed us over on that deal. Talking about the swamp, I wanted to say something about that. You know, in Waco there, they brought old Pete Sessions down after he got voted out of, I guess he'd been there 20 years in Congress. Mm-hmm. So now they're going to put him right back in there. He won. And so you're putting the same people back. I don't know why people don't understand that. I hear all this drain in the swamp. Why don't people down and say, hey, why is he coming back to Waco and to go back to D.C.?
I don't know if there's an easy answer to that. Maybe how many years has he been out of office?
I think maybe one. I'd have to look it up. Maybe one term. And I truly think that that big RNC didn't want Bill Flores back. Maybe he wasn't effective enough, and they decided, hey, we need to put this guy because he has more connections up there. I don't know. You know, that's just my assumption there.
All right. Well. I don't know how to answer that.
I got you, Ben. But what I'm saying is we keep doing the same thing over and over, and people still complain. We had Chet Edwards there for ever and ever, and he would vote so far to the left because the Temple Daily Telegram would put his voting record in there until election time. Then he would vote so hard to the right, he'd wrap himself in the flag for the VA in Fort Hood until they broke that district up.
Well, of course.
You know, so... And he was a Democrat, and I'd hear guys in the barbershop, I know he's a Democrat, but, hey, he's for the VA, you know. So it's one of them games.
Well, you know, I love mankind. That's why I'm for killing all the bad guys in the Middle East. Okay. I want to preserve the world's peace by going and getting the bad guy or taking a bunch of backward people that we consider to be backward. But you know what? They had their own culture, their own history for a hell of a lot longer than the United States has. And rather than let them tend to their own affairs, let's just make them and classify them being a big lot of terrorists, and we've got to kill them all and let God sort them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you, because the last time I got a deployment briefing, the rules of engagement, it really opened my eyes up to what was going on. That was in 2009. Anyway, I was 49 years old then. I really had an awakening then, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Anyway, John, y'all have a good night, and I'll let some other more important calls come through.
All right. Hey, thank you. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Well, so what's going on in Michigan? By the way, does anybody want to make a bet here of how fast this FBI story dies about people trying to kill Whitmer? Which, by the way, Tom had sent me a little meme. I guess, Tom, that was, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, or maybe even longer, about somebody's musing as to what to do with Governor Whitmer. And this didn't come from any of the Proud Boys or the Antifa members that they said were militia. Yeah. Well, the Michigan attorney will no longer enforce Whitmer's COVID lockdown. Are you hearing that, Governor of Texas, you idiot? State of Michigan Attorney General has announced she will not enforce any executive orders issued by the state's governor, Gretchen Whitmer, after the Michigan Supreme Court rules Whitmer exceeded her authority. Ryan Jarvie, press secretary for Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, said in a statement, "In light of the Supreme Court's decision on Friday, the Attorney General will no longer enforce the governor's executive orders through criminal prosecution." Jeez. Maybe they watched the spectator.co.uk/TV piece that I played last hour. Remember Dr. David Navarro going, "What? Lockdowns? Are you people nuts? Crashing world economies, domino effects. Stop doing that." Oh.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Now God's finest little creatures, looking brave and strong, whistling past the graveyard, nothing can go wrong. Quoting from the scriptures with patriotic tears, we got the same old men with the same old fears. Standing at a
well, what do our brethren to the north think? Oh, Canada. Well, Independent Ontario MPP Randy Hiller asked a question about COVID-19 quarantine camps that could be coming to the province in the not-too-distant future. Here's what he had to say.
This ain't no five-star hotel situation, okay? Make no mistake. You're going to be staying in a freaking internment camp. Let's roll the clip and see what we're dealing with here.
Next question. The member for Lanark, Frontenac, Kingston.
Thank you, Speaker. My question is to the Premier. In my supplemental question yesterday, I asked this government if the people of Ontario should prepare for internment camps. In September, the federal government posted a call for expressions of interest for contractors to supply, provide, and manage quarantine isolation camps throughout every province and every territory in Canada. These quarantine isolation camps, however, are not limited to people with COVID, but provide a wide latitude for many people to be detained. Surely this government is aware of the intentions to build these isolation camps from coast to coast. And my question to the Premier is, how many of these camps will be built, and how many people does this government expect to detain?
Question. Government House Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is very true that when people leave the country and when they come back in, that the province is suggesting, and the federal government, in cooperation with the federal government, we are suggesting that people isolate themselves. That has been a practice that has been very successful, not only here in the province of Ontario, but across
politically
Canada.
Successful.
And we will, of course, be redoubling our efforts to make sure that the people of the province of Ontario remain safe, Mr. Speaker. So if the member is referring to the fact that that one of the public health policies is that when you return from a jurisdiction outside of the province of Ontario or from another country, that you isolate yourself for 2 weeks, I would suggest that has been a good policy that has been working. In fact, this House has been doing the same thing since we came back. We are working in cohorts to make sure that the Legislative Assembly can continue to operate. That's why we have two separate cohorts, Mr. Speaker.
Response.
And with the cooperation of the official opposition, that is why all members of the Independents have been excluded from that cohort, because we want them to be able to participate in debate. So we will continue to do everything in our power to make sure that this House continues, but that the people of the province of Ontario and Canada are kept safe.
Supplementary question.
Again, back to the Premier. Here's the RFP. And in the RFP, it uses clear language to express that these caps can be used for a broad spectrum of people, not limited to travelers. Indeed, it doesn't even mention international travelers. It's just a broad latitude of people. And I'll send over the copy of the RFP after. So your government must be in negotiations and aware of these plans to potentially detain and isolate citizens and residents of our country and our province. So, Speaker, to the Premier, where will these camps be built? How many people will be detained? And for what reasons?
Questions.
For what reasons can people be kept in these isolation camps? And I'd like to have the Premier assure the people of Ontario.
Member, take a seat.
Oh, he's told to sit down and shut up.
Next question.
We're going to go on to the next question because it's too big of a question for us to answer in public. Wow. James in Vancouver. Hello, James.
How you doing, boss? The brethren up here have no real confidence in what goes on in the government in Ottawa or any other place. The brethren here don't like this kind of situation.
Now, when you're speaking of the brethren, who are you referring to?
You mentioned the word brethren up north.
Oh!
Up north.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't help. I had to call in. No. This system is not what I grew up with. Really, I don't know if you know. My grandparents were Americans, and Well, they sort of raised me, you know, whenever I was living with them, it was all about the United States. And when I was living with my father's family, it was all about Europe. So, like I said before, I called up before and, you know, in the United States, in America, I can say things and I've got my First Amendment rights, okay? But up here, if I say something, I can go to jail for it, for an expressing an opinion like that.
And right? what form of government are you supposed to have up there?
I looked it up the other day. It's a constitutional monarchy. Do you know what my passport says?
No.
My passport says, in the Canadian government request, in the name of Her Majesty the Queen. See that?
Yeah.
To help this poor boy get into your borders, right? It doesn't say the Canadian government request. It says in the name of the Queen, you see? And on my passport is the coat of arms to the Queen, the seal of Her Majesty. See, I am a subject. I am a subject.
See, that's been the problem here with Jolly Old, is that they are subjects there, and they haven't quite figured out that when you are considered a subject, then your government doles out, I won't use the term rights, but they'll dole out what privileges you should have and which ones you shouldn't.
They say at Her Majesty's pleasure. That's how they put it. At Her Majesty's pleasure.
I'm sure that pleases Her Majesty very much. All right.
See, so I grew up in two systems. I grew up in the American system. I was born north of the 49th parallel. Okay. I grew up in the American system, and I grew up in Canada. So I...
And when are you going to return to your ancestral land? By the way, I didn't realize this, but today we have a national holiday. It's the Indigenous People's Holiday. I had no idea. None.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess you're to follow your lineage, you've got to come home, so you got to move down to the States.
Well, yeah, that's been on my mind, actually, for quite some time, because the things I do up here in Canada, I could do them better down in the United States.
Well, I'm all for maximizing one's potential, so why don't you do it? Okay, hey, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, the one that's ignored, she's just an idiot. Well, Dr. Judy says 50 million will die in the U.S. from the COVID vaccine. And who was she talking to? None other than Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Here is the short interview. 8 minutes long, folks. Listen up.
And now they're trying to rush it through. They got the team in Oxford here, you know, putting their injections into rhesus monkeys. And they look, now they're trying to push everybody. It might be ready in 6 months, which is faster than I've been told any other vaccine has been ready, and really like pushing it towards people.
This is London
again, talking
Real.
To Bobby Kennedy. He's like, Brian, even if there
the
was
interview.
Something that's successful, it's such a low percentage. It's not a fix-all. It's just, this is all a dream, a lie. This is not even a possible solution for us.
And why would you give a vaccine to people who already have an antibody, who've already been exposed, have developed a natural immunoglobulin G for a past infection, or IgM, the mucosal surfaces, for a recent or current infections? Why would you give a healthy person a shot that could drive the toxicity, as the data have shown, when they're already immune? Why aren't the exposed, who are not sick, healthy people out there working to protect the compromised? And why aren't we protecting the compromised with the therapeutics that we know work, like hydroxychloroquine and the type 1 interferons and vitamin C and zincs, the natural products to protect them? Why are we holding everybody in? That's why I call it criminal extortion. And they don't get out of their house, and they're driving further and further into their own depression or anxiety or disease. They can see the effect it's having on the family when they can't pay their bills. You know, the children who aren't educated. You know, this is, finally, it's like, oh, how bad could it be? And you get that shot. And once you do that, you can't take it. You know, it's very difficult to detox this stuff. So, it's why would you do it if 0.1% to 0.3%, are the only people you're protecting, and that immunity might already be here? Isn't that the heart of a vaccination program? Every vaccine, if in the FDA, if you develop an antibody, and again, most haven't even been tested to do that, and we know most don't. So if you get an antibody in and you make a vaccine and the manufacturer shows it produces antibodies in monkeys, then by definition, it passes, you know, regardless of whether it's safe. So why doesn't a natural infection where we've developed immunity and people have the antibodies they need to be protected from death? Most people don't realize the vaccines do not prevent infection. You're injecting the blueprint. You're injecting the blueprint of the virus and letting a compromised system try to deal with it. And worse, it doesn't go in the cells that a natural infection would, that have lock and key receptors, gatekeepers, so that only certain cells can be infected, like the upper respiratory tract for a coronavirus. Now you're making it in a nanoparticle, which means it can go in every cell without that receptor. So can you imagine the damage of bypassing God's natural immunity and allowing the blueprint for coronavirus that also has components of HIV in some strains, meaning you can infect your white blood cells. So now you're going to inject an agent into every cell of the body. I just can't even imagine a recipe for anything other than what I would consider mass murder on a scale where 50 million people will die in America from the vaccine.
15 million.
50.
50.
Million.
Wow, that's a big prediction.
Yeah. But the numbers of the XMRVs and the vaccine injuries for the 40 years support that.
Dr. Judy Mikovits was with us last week, and she said potentially 50 million Americans die if we proceed with vaccines. And
Now let me stop and digress here for a second to point something out. Remember they were talking about their second wave? And everybody kept saying, well, wait a minute. In times past, when we had the flu, well, we developed a herd mentality. Immunity. And the disease was passed around. We built up the antibodies, and we got over it. Could they not, with these vaccines, actually be putting a time bomb in your body that's going to kill millions? And what do you think they're going to be using as, well, their new standard? Look, we got 50 million dead. We've got to inject everybody.
I was like, 15? And she said 50. And I was like, wow, that's a dark prediction. And it feels
and
extreme.
And think about that. That's only America.
Right. So you don't think she's off if we go full steam ahead with this?
Not at all. And if they don't die, they're going to be seriously injured. You know, there's some things in life that are worse than death. You know, having to live with chronic hepatitis, you know, chronic inflammatory drug-induced hepatitis, you know, having chronic seizure disorders, having debilitating autoimmune diseases. You know, some people are so sick, it would be merciful if they died, right? So there's some things in life that are worse than death. So I don't think that's an over-exaggeration at all. And she was mentioning that because I listened to her interview with you. And she was mentioning that as being just in America.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, Bill Gates said he wants 15 billion doses of this vaccine. Because every one of their protocols is you get the first shot. So you get 7.7 billion, every man, woman, and child on the entire planet he wants vaccinated. They get the first shot, which they call that sensitization. Then they give the second shot to give that high antibody response. And then these coronaviruses have been around for 6 years, and that's one of the things that we don't really know. I mean, we're trying to learn about this virus and develop things in real time, right? We're just learning about this virus and how it's affecting people and how it's spreading and what should we be doing about testing or not testing and what about treatments? And we're finding out that the virus is more of a blood infection than actually a lung infection, and we're kind of figuring it out in real time, and yet they're full steam ahead. Hammer down. Get this vaccine out there as fast as we can. It's horrific.
Surely Bill Gates and Fauci and even the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want that many deaths on their hands. I mean,
what?
They wouldn't want that to happen. Or you
they have no liability.
Okay. But still, I mean, still, they obviously don't want that to happen,
well,
right? Do they just not know any better?
How are you making that assumption? Because these are the people that have been saying all along that, hey, you know, 500 million people on the face of the planet, you know, we're not going to offer ourselves up to be the, well, the sacrificial lambs. We're here to direct you to go to the gallows. Yes.
They can read the literature just like I can, Brian.
So they're just evil, horrible people? Like, I'm just trying to understand their motivations. It's one thing,
well,
you know, to create,
you know,
a
one
society
of the things that
dependent.
We kind of try not to talk about in the vaccine world over the years is the whole eugenics movement.
Right.
You know, we kind of, because, you know, we already have enough problems with being labeled as tinfoil hat, anti-science, you know, horrible people because we don't think people should be vaccinated. We already got a whole bunch of labels stuck to us. But the truth is, Bill Gates' dad, I mean, he was one of the original founders of Planned Parenthood. He was one of the original founders of the eugenics movement here in the U.S. The Georgia Guidestones are real. You know, Bill Gates has said in some of his TED Talks, we can't sustain this. You know, we have to, you know, the population is getting too big. We have to lower the population on the planet. And we can't expect vaccines to do it all. We have to do other things. He's been known to say that. So, I mean, those are his words. I wasn't putting words in his mouth. Those are things that he said. And so I believe that there are people who really, truly believe they're all into this whole, you know, global warming sort of things. And it's all because of humans and cow farts and, you know, different things that they laugh about sometimes. Right. And so if we lowered the number of humans on the planet, then the planet would have a better chance to survive. So, you know, psychopaths think differently than you and I do, Brian. They just do.
Boy, there's a true statement. Psychopaths think differently than we do. Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark.
Yes. Can you hear me now? I'll be brief. Last night, I said, Alexis, read Plato's Republic, and Plato agreed with you. So if you didn't already know, Plato himself agreed that democracy, I was playing World of Warcraft a while back, and this girl's like, well, I'm in Greece, and we invented democracy. And I replied, yes, we forgive you. So, absolutely, democracy is it's a political platitude for the idea that people should have a say, but people should have a say that's constrained by being informed and being moral, because Plato's Republic does require that, right? That people have to be informed to know what they have to do, and they have to be moral to actually do it. Somehow, I remember once reviewing Plato's Republic, and there's part where he advocated orgiastic festivals for certain portions of society that he thought would be better off if they didn't know who their children were. So somehow it's kind of funny thinking of a guy talking about morality when he's talking about a fairly significant segment of society having orgiastic festivals. Doesn't it sound kind of strange?
Just, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's not kind of wacky, but I think there's 3 points to restorationism. And no one, know what actually is. This is a plutocratic oligarchy. Know what ought rightly be is a republic proper, which means a rule of law. And then from there, what can reasonably and realistically be done to get from where we are to where we ought to be. And it's like this militia group that turned out to be Antifa, and I have to admit that the governor was basically asking for it with her draconian lockdown crap, and there should have been a means of saying this has gone on too long already, where we started with 15 days and then told, oh, it'll just be another 30 days,
mm-hmm.
and it just keeps going on and on and on.
Conveniently, up to and including November 1st, supposedly, that's when it was going to end, but we're talking about a couple of days to the national election. Of course, that didn't have anything to do with it whatsoever. And as I'd stated before, Mark, when we formed the militias back in the 90s, there was some thou shalt nots. And one of those thou shalt not is thou shalt not destroy or go after any federal agents, buildings, enclaves, or anything else. We are defensive in nature only. Only if attacked, we defend ourselves. And
absolutely.
Then conveniently, Mark, after this little meme that I wished I could, I'll have to search my own databases here. There was a meme that was put out about 4 weeks ago, and it was a parody as to what they should do with this witless one in Michigan. And I think that was the genesis or the brainchild of the FBI to cook this thing up.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I will point out is that when I was reading the Constitution a while back, the Second Amendment is not the first mention of the militia. It also, the federal government is to discipline the militia. And that doesn't just mean keep us from, you know, demanding accountability, you know, there, but it has to follow a proper, lawful procedure. There has to be due process. And the only thing that bothers me about the words due process in the 14th Amendment, apparently our current system of government, due process means, well, you got to follow a bunch of our asinine legal decrees that involve immuning this system from admitting that they lied to us about anything. So, I don't know, I appeared in court last Tuesday, and almost a week ago, and they don't allow any cell phones or electronic devices, almost like they don't want people recording what goes on in court because somebody might expose a bit of truth.
Well, you can always trust, like, you can always trust the public record, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah. What do the words strike that from a record mean? It means that if somebody says something that they don't want on the record, they strike that from the record. And, well, it's still in God's record. They can't strike it from God's record.
Yeah, but see, a lot of these people, and I got to let you go, Mark, because we're out of time. A lot of these people don't believe in God, and well, if there's no God, then how can there be heaven? And there's certainly no eternal place you can go burn for eternity. Now, is there? So do what you will, and do what you will in this lifetime, because it's okay. You're in a democracy, Mark. I thank you for your call. How to end up this show today? Just a reminder, folks, this is participatory. The reason why the militia was in there, and it spelled it out, the unorganized militia, is they were there in case the government got a little wacko, like you see it today, these Minutemen. Oh, that's right. They'd show up in a minute to defend the republic and freedom and liberty and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the reason why it was put right behind the first. Freedom of speech, which we don't have anymore. Assembly. Yeah, the COVID-19 pretty much took care of that, but we saw that before. Fencing off people, not allowing them to demonstrate anywhere near, say, ground central of something you should be demonstrating against. You know, we've seen it all. We have seen it all. And now what we're talking about is a coup. Literally a communist coup to deconstruct this country and reform it in the Marxist idea of things. But you see, democracy was always to be used as the forebearer of the communist regime worldwide. Wow. There's a lot to digest on this program today, folks. A lot. We'll see what Bob Barr is going to do. We might have a new attorney general, or this guy just might be biding his time. He looks like a guy to me that can get pretty serious. Never changes facial expression. Let's see what Mr. Barr is going to do after the re-election of Donald Trump. Oh, are we premature? Or is somebody going to set off a nuclear bomb in Washington, D.C.? Oh, my God. Do you think the FBI and the CIA would go that far to maybe set off a low-yield nuclear device to maybe interrupt things? I wouldn't put it past them. I want to thank you for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. Please support the Republic Broadcasting Network monetarily, because we can't give IOUs to the people that demand money for their service, which brings you this network. Thank you for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.